Send the greetings to you all in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed this morning with the Sunday school lesson, reading. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, Lord, this morning, and we just ask that you would be with us, Lord. Give us wisdom as we open your word, Father. Help us, Lord, to seek you with all our heart, Father, that you would guard us from presumptuousness, Lord. Father, we just pray that you would help us, Lord, as we look to your word, that you would open it to us, Father. Speak clearly to our hearts, Lord, that we may fear and tremble at your word, Father, that we might keep it and obey it. Lord, we ask your blessing upon us. Fill us with your spirit and give us wisdom in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Blessing this morning that Brother Steve was teaching to the young people, giving them the warning of not acting foolishly and making foolish choices and then saying, well, I didn't know. Just it goes hand in hand with what I want to teach about this morning. Want to give some instructions on one of the teachings of the Lord, or some of them. We want to open the Bible and look at them, something that among most evangelical churches is just not even thought of as being taught today. And then some people carry it way too far. First, I want to go to Hebrews. Chapter 12. Most of us know that Hebrews chapter 11 is teaching about labeled the faith chapter in the Bible. And it goes through the history of some of the heroes of the faith and the fight that they fought when they were on the earth, the battles that they fought, the temptations they faced, the challenges that they rose above by faith. We know that by faith, and this is where we get our definition of faith, faith is not just picking up a promise and pretending it's going to happen. Faith is not just pretending that we're going to be saved until we seal our conscience to where we just have no doubt that we are. Faith is when God speaks something and we obey it. I'll give one example before I go on. By faith, Noah, verse 7 in Hebrews chapter 11 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What did Noah's faith produce? Noah's faith moved him with fear that it was going to rain, and if he was going to survive, he would have to build an ark. Well, if you would line that up today with modern faith, Noah would have drowned. Because his faith wouldn't have caused him to fear, and it wouldn't have caused him to do anything. He would have rested content, trusting that God would save him. That's a phony faith. Then we read all the other examples that are given. And then we get to chapter 12. Remember that these chapters are put in here by people later so that we could find verses easier. But if you just read this all the way through, you see that the men of faith then it comes to chapter 12 and it says to us, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." You and I are compassed about with all these people who were in the faith before. Basically, we have the Old Testament here. You and I read the Old Testament, and we can include the saints of the New Testament. We could include the saints that we read about throughout history, the Donovans, the Waldensians, the Anabaptists. They're included in this cloud of witnesses. Or this, some versions of the Bible use this grandstand, watching the game or the battle or whatever you want to say that's going on right now. When you and I would pass into eternity, the next generation's going to grow up. And if we've been faithful in our generation, we'll be in this cloud of witnesses. We'll be in this grandstand watching the next generation fight the battle for the Lord. You and I, now, are in the middle of the ring. You and I, now, are the Noahs. You and I, now, are the Moseses. You and I, now, are the Abrahams. Now, you, I, we're the ones they're all watching because it's our turn at bat. It's our time. Not only is God watching us, but all these saints are watching us. All the angels in all heaven are watching us. And I believe all the people in hell that wish they weren't there are watching us. Because we are the center of attention in this little speck of time that we've been given. You and I are the Pauls. The Peters. The Jameses of the day. We're it. Like it or not, you're it. If you're going to be it. We can be faithful or we can be phony. But we're it. Some say, oh, that's being pretty presumptuous. No, that's what it is. Sometimes we read the Bible and decisions had to be made. And, well, this is what Paul did. He had to make a decision. You know what? There's got to be a Paul today. There's got to be a Peter today. Because we're just flesh and blood, just like they are. And if we don't stand up like they did, there may just be a blank spot. There may be a position out in the field that somebody isn't there. You know, a lot of these teams that they play these games and these sports, grown men playing ball. What if they didn't have a quarterback? What if they didn't have a pitcher on that team? What if they didn't have a catcher? Because somebody that was supposed to be there wasn't there. We've got a place to fill. And it's just as real right now as it was when they were living their life. It's the same battle. It's just our turn to be here. Our responsibility to be here. Now, I want to read in Acts chapter 5. This is what was going on in one of the early churches. chapter 4, we see about how people were selling what they had, bringing it to the church and just giving it away, saying, I'm going to follow the Lord. I don't need it. Here, you take it. Do something with it. And people were looking up at that and saying, wow, that's a noble thing that they're doing. So Ananias, verse 5, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession. Let's get in on this. And they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it. She knew it too. She knew about the deal. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? They were pretending to give everything they had, to sell it and give it to the church. And they were pretending that we're given everything. But they had chosen to keep back a little part of it for themselves. They chose to hold on to something that they didn't want to give up. We'll make it appear like we're giving up everything, but secretly we're going to keep back part of it. Keep it hidden from everybody else. This whole grandstand could see just exactly what was going on. Everybody outside of the little realm where the spotlight was on knew just exactly what was going on. Peter said, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the land? While it was yours, while it remained, was it not your own? He's not saying everyone has to do this. He's saying it was yours. We didn't ask for it. We didn't demand it of you. Wasn't it yours anyway? Why did you have to put on this big show and say that it was, and then keep back part of it? Was it not in your power? Why hast thou conceived this thing? Why did you let your mind go there? Why did you contrive this thing? In your heart. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came all them that heard these things. What happened to him? He dropped over dead. Why? Because he allowed his evil heart to deceive him and tried to make a lie. Basically, that's all he did. He lied. He tried to lie to God. You know, Peter didn't explain to him, now wait a minute, you be careful here before you offer this, because if this isn't everything that you're saying, you're going to die. So I want you to understand completely what you're doing before you do it. He didn't do that. He said, why did you do this? And he died. It wasn't all spelled out, was it? Like the lesson that was given. Well, I didn't know it was wrong. I didn't know. I didn't know this was a rule. I didn't know. Didn't help Ananias much, did it? He didn't even get a chance to say, I didn't know. He fell over dead. God killed him. On the spot. He came before the church. And he lied. And he died. Does that mean you're going to drop over dead if you tell somebody a lie in the church? I don't know. You could. But don't think you're going to get away with it just because you don't drop dead as soon as you do it. Because God's not going to judge this man and then let you get away with it. Because this is 2,000 years later. The same cloud of witnesses that was up to this time is the same cloud that's watching the same battle that was going on in that time. The young men rose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Put him in a casket, went and dug a hole and throwed him in it. You know, all these churches that teach that they're performing miracles, and they say, we're like the early church. We're speaking in tongues, and we can jump up and down, stand on our head, and prophesy, and do all kinds of things like that. How many of them died last week? They don't have many signs on their church offering a healing campaign that says, oh, and by the way, if you're not going to be holy, there's a good chance you're going to die. If you come in here pretending something, there's a good chance you're going to just fall over dead. So you better be careful. Doesn't that kind of put in perspective some of the miracles that people are talking about happen? Well, if the good miracles are going to happen, the bad ones are going to come with it too. Everybody wants the good, the blessings, and all those things. But every time I read the Bible about a blessing, there's a curse that goes on it too, if you don't. That scares to death. We are. We are in the spotlight. We are that church today. Well, that sounds pretty presumptuous. Well, if we're not, if we don't think we are, we better get to be a part of it. Because as fearful as it may sound, the only other alternative is to go square to hell when you die without any hope. It may be fearful, some of these things. And it ought to be. And it may be, make you wonder, do I want to be a part of that? Or what have I got myself into? But the truth is the only thing that's going to get us through it and out of this world. And we'd better be a part of it. And as frail and as simple or as uneloquent as I may be or you may be, we're it. As far as right here is concerned, we're it. We ain't going around bragging, saying, "Oh, I'm Paul," or "I'm Peter." Some of us have the same jobs and the same responsibilities and the same accountabilities that they had in their day. And we're all in this grandstand. And it is our day. Turn to Matthew chapter 18, or 16, sorry. I haven't taught a lot on this. For one reason is because I haven't really understood it. That's the blessing. Just working and living day to day, I don't have to understand everything before things happen. But praise the Lord, as things have come up, and just like was talked about, don't worry about those things when they bring you before the counselors and the leaders. Take no thought of what you're going to say. I'll give you what you need when you get there. And you know, we can do the same thing with about the position or the responsibility we have to do what we need to be doing, following the Lord. And there's a lot of things that we may not understand going into it. Well, what if? What if? We hear that all the time. What if? And there's situations I just say, I don't know. What if? But then you get there, and then just God just shows us something so clear. Well, there it is. Never saw that. And it just fits with what we need to do. There is a God that will guide us if we will walk in His light. I want to read this here in I guess we're in chapter 18, isn't it? Yeah. Chapter 18, verse 15. As far as churches have gone, many people have built doctrines and things on these verses, and they've abused them. Chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. First of all, if you got red letters in your Bible, notice that these are red letters. In other words, this is Jesus teaching on the church. So many times we have the thought that the way the church is established, Paul's telling us to do all these things. We get the idea that church and the authority and the structure of the church all comes, most of it, comes from Paul. But it started right here. These are Jesus' words. They're not Paul's. Jesus set this foundation. If any man offends you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Be reconciled. Someone's done you wrong, just go tell them about it. Just go talk to them and say, listen, I don't think you did me quite right on that. And if he'll hear you, say, yeah, you know what, I've been thinking about that too. And I hadn't. Will you forgive me? You've gained your brother. Praise the Lord. But if he will not hear you, then take with thee two or three more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he won't listen to you, you're trying to give him some instructions. Trying to give him some advice. Trying to correct something. If he won't hear you, get a couple of the brothers. Go with you. Talk it over with him. Try to get him to see that what direction he's going or what he's done wrong. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. We have the basic tenets of the faith to follow. But here's another issue. Maybe it's not clearly laid out for what to do. Maybe it's not just spelled out perfectly. But the brethren come together and see that that's what ought to be done here. That's what ought to be done here. And if he won't hear you, let him be as a heathen man and a publican. Verse 18, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You and I, as a body, as a church, have been given a great responsibility. People have taken this and abused it. And what they've done with it, they've taken this verse and saying, well, whatsoever God or whatsoever we bind on earth as a church, it's the way it's going to be written down in heaven. And so they make a rule. They say, well, we came together as a church and we made this rule. And so that rule gets written down in the books. Next week, something else comes up. The church makes a decision on it. Everybody agrees on it. We all say we're two or three are gathered together. God is going to honor this. And so we write down another rule. Pretty soon we've got a good list of rules. 10 generations from now, irregardless of what the situation was then when the rule was written, these are all just laws and commandments. Give you an example of one of those things. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses, during his time, had an issue of people that their hearts were so hardened that when they couldn't get along with their spouse, they might just take them out and have them killed so that they could go get another one. So Moses, because of the hardness of their hearts, said, all right, I'm going to let you have a divorce. Somehow that got written down. And then from then on, well, if your wife didn't make you happy or something come along, or well, I'll just give her a divorce. And it became the law of the land. until Jesus came. He said, you've heard. That's what you've written down and took Moses to understand. But from the beginning, it was not so. Moses, because of what was going on in his day, had to do something. Because of the hardness of the hearts of the people in that day, he had to make a judgment and a decision. And you've turned it into a law. You see, these verses here doesn't give us the right to make laws, but it does put us in the place where we have an authority whenever something happens that we have to make a judgment on. God says, whatever you bind on earth, I'm standing behind you 100% on this judgment. Count on me to be with you. So anybody who wants to go against that in this particular judgment that you're making is not just standing against you, he's standing against me. It doesn't give the church the authority to say, well, this is the way the church sees it, and we're going to do it from now on this way. This gives the church the responsibility that in some situations, when something's going wrong, when there's problems happening, when there's someone causing problems, or there's something out of order that has to be dealt with, God has granted the authority to the church. Now, not just to Paul, we are the Pauls. We are the Peters and the James and the Johns, the Andrews, the church. And God has given us the same wisdom that he gave them. And when the church makes an agreement, God is saying, I'm going to stand behind your judgment. It's not to write laws. It's not to go back and say, well, that's the way it's been ever since we agreed. You know what? 2 years from now, a case very similar maybe comes up. But when you examine everything, you find out, well, this is different than that. This is different than that. We're a living church. It's a living church. The judgments that were made 100 years ago are not the same judgments. Even though they're based, and if they are based on truth and righteousness, living that way. Someone could become very much looser and just say, well, we'll just change it and make the rules and do this and that the way we want to. That's not what I'm saying. If men of God are standing today and they're principal purpose is righteousness and judgment and doing what's right, somebody's going to have to be doing that 10 years from now. And the situations may change or something just shift just a little. Well, that church 10 years from now is going to have to stand up and say, well, they did handle it that way, but there is differences here. And so we're going to have to decide how to handle it. But if it's become a law of the way they did it, it takes away the judgment, the responsibility, and we'll just say, well, that's the way it happened then, that's the way it's going to happen today. It's not what this verse is about. This verse gives us the authority to make a judgment. Whenever there's something comes up that's causing problems. It puts a responsibility on us, whether we like it or not. You know, sometimes there's a lot of things in the New Testament. Some of Jesus' teachings that, just to be honest with you, I really don't care for personally. Well, that sounds awful. My flesh don't like some of them. That don't mean I'm going to change them. What good is it going to do to change him? Why do we call him Lord and we don't submit ourselves to him? We're just pretending if we find something that we don't like, and so instead of submitting to it, we change it. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. This is not, okay, there's two or three of us here. Boy, I wish we all had new cars. Everybody agree? Not what he's talking about. He's talking about whenever there's a problem, we might not have all the answers. It might not spell out clearly in the Bible. Paul, in one place in the Bible, he's talking about some things and he said, I don't have a commandment of the Lord to go by right here. But this is what I see ought to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 says that a couple of different times. But this is what I see ought to happen. And for that time, I believe God recognized that as what needed to happen. Hebrews says, submit yourselves to those who watch over your souls, that they may do it. Hebrews, let's just read it. Thank you. verse 7. We'll just remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Today, yesterday, and forever. The great cloud of witnesses. Well, who are you today? Jesus is the same. This is our time. This is our day. This is applied to us. Just like it was yesterday. Just like it was today, 2,000 years ago when they wrote this. Just like it'll be forever. But today is our day. And there's a responsibility. Verse 17. This is the verse I was trying to quote there. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy, and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. I didn't read those, and I'm not telling you this, because I want to rule over you. It's not what I want to do. But when problems arise and there's problems and decisions have to be made, sometimes someone has to make them. I try to get by with as little as I can of interfering with your walk with the Lord. I try to give guidance if you need it. Little correction if you need it. That's what I feel is my responsibility. It's up to you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm not a policeman. I don't want to be. I don't want to deal with church problems. I don't like it. But sometimes it happens. Sometimes there are problems. When you're children, you like to just let them go. You like them to do their chores and do what they're supposed to do and get along with one another. But then once in a while you see one of them going off and doing something wrong. And pretty soon there's another and going behind it and you say, you're going to have to do something here. And you have to make a choice. And sometimes you have to make a judgment. Sometimes you have to untangle a mess to try to find out what the problem is. Sometimes you have to dig a little bit. Sometimes you have to ask some questions. Sometimes you see conclusions. I'm just as flesh and blood as anyone here. And I could make mistakes. whenever you're untangling messes, you have to make some decisions that you can't see clearly. But as new light is shed, I can change my mind. It wasn't set in stone. As new light comes in, well, that makes it all different. Maybe you feel like you're being, something's going on and you're getting picked on. Just bear with us just a little bit. If you're innocent, it'll come out. Just like if you're guilty, it'll come out too. I may get a little sharp with some of you sometimes. I may be a little soft on some of you sometimes. Well, forgive me. I'm what I am right now. Maybe some of the brothers don't see everything that you see right now. Maybe we don't understand everything right now. It'll pass. We'll get over it. Jesus said, if someone even accuses you falsely, if you're guilty and you get punished for it, you get punished for it. And you deserve it. But if you haven't done anything wrong, and you get accused of something, start raking her in. Because you're doing what the Bible says, great. You're doing good things then. Because that's what they did to Jesus. They accused him of being wrong. They accused him of being evil. And he took it patiently. You ought to build up your heavenly bank account. Accept those wrong things that there's. Rejoice! The Bible says when they accuse you falsely. Great truth. How is it that great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If we love the law of the Lord, and someone brings a false accusation against me, and everyone in here believes it, I know whether I'm guilty or not. And I know whether I'm innocent or not. And I can get all mad and say, oh, they don't understand me. I can bear it patiently. But we still have responsibilities to make decisions. And those decisions, when they're made honestly and sincerely, and truthfully before a holy God, God says, I got your back. I'm with you. Pray for me. Pray for others that are here. We could work together. Pray for wisdom. Because we're it. The church and the decisions we make today God said he'd honor them. And I've seen it happen. I've seen men die. And I've seen men die spiritually right in front of my eyes. They don't even know it. And it's real. You're not going to fool God. This is not a game. All the games and all the things that the world's running after, the whole world's watching. You know what the saints are watching? They're not watching the ball game today. Saints ain't watching the Super Bowl, whenever it is. The Saints ain't watching the World Series, whenever it is, or the World Soccer Championships. They're not watching that. The Saints are in the great grandstand, and they're watching the little church right here in Monette. They're watching the little group of believers, maybe in the middle of Africa somewhere. They're watching the little group down in South America. That's who they're watching. That's who they've got their eye on. They could care less about the world, what the world's doing, the world rodeo baloney. They could care less about that. They're watching us. The Pauls, the Peters, the Noahs, the Moses of the day. Father, we come before you and we just want to thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Fill us with your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Help us be faithful to you, Lord, as we labor during our short time here on this world. We just ask you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Does anyone have anything they'd like to? Just like
Put on them, or maybe something legitimate. But
making judgment, not rules. These you've overlooked, judgment, mercy. And can't remember the other. There's three, I think. But we have to make judgments. Or we're just dead, following judgments that were rules that were made in years past. And it's irresponsible not to make judgments. All right. Well, Lord bless you.